Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Jamie Buckley. Jamie is the City of Arcata's Bayside Park Farm farmer. Mm-hmm. And Jamie, how did you get interested in being a farmer?
Well, I was coming here to attend HSU and get my graduate degree in sociology studying community-supported agriculture. So I was really attracted to, well, for one, the wholesome, healthy lifestyle, and had always felt compelled to work outdoors. So those things combined, and with the work I was doing with school, it all came together.
Did you come from a farming family or have any experience gardening as a child?
Not necessarily. I lived in a rural area growing up, upstate New York. And so we had a lot of land, and occasionally we would have some animals, and we did things like 4-H and mm-hmm. horse showing and that sort of thing.
Oh,
but
okay.
The growing plant side of things was something I wanted to pursue on my own.
Now, one of the things that this country is faced with right now is kind of a crisis in farming, that a lot of farmers and ranchers are getting older. I think the average age is in the mid to high 60s right now. Mm-hmm. How do you think we can encourage younger people to get into farming?
I think one component is having education about it, because there's really not a lot available to the general community on how to farm. So I think that's one thing we're working on at the farm is we have an internship program and volunteer programs, and we just try to introduce people to what we do and see if they like the lifestyle. So that's a component of it, and access.
I think you've had some local farmers who are growing locally have come out of that farm.
Many. Yeah.
Eddie Tanner, I think, is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Cunningham, who now does Shake Fork Community Farm.
Sure.
Julie Joe, who now runs Ocean Air Farm up in Del Norte County.
Oh, okay.
So, and many, it's a huge legacy, actually. I talk to people all the time that have say they have put in time there volunteering or have been an intern in the past. So
sure.
Quite a few people have gotten an education there.
Okay. And how long have you personally been at the farm?
This is my third year.
Third year. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when did you first learn about the CSA model? It sounds like you really learned quite a while ago if you that's what you were pursuing in your studies.
Yeah. Back when I was living on the East Coast, I was getting into nursery work. I was working in nurseries that had a lot of landscaping plants and that sort of thing. But I knew I wanted to gravitate toward working with food. So as I researched some farms there and that sort of thing, I discovered CSA. And it was just really intriguing because it was access to fresh local organic produce, and that's hard to come by some places.
I think also that partnership model, that you're actually partnering with the farmer. Not only are you reaping the benefits with the farmer, but you're taking the risks with the farmer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so when you buy into a share, you become a shareholder at the farm, you are part of that community, and so you support what goes on, and financially and morally and all these ways. So with the risk involved, occasionally there are crop failures or weather disasters, or you never really can predict what's going to happen in a season. And so this CSA shareholders agree to support that, whatever happens. They know the farmer's like trying their best and contending with the weather and all
sure,
these things, all these
sure.
factors. But, with the risks also comes benefits. And so there's times when we have bumper crops, and so they get an abundance of things. And so I think that's part of the flexibility of being a shareholder, is that you're just a part of how things go down for the season.
Uh-huh. Now, at the park farm there in Bayside, how do people come to pick up their things? Is it one of those things where a box is already prepared for them, or do they go through and pick produce out of bins?
Well, what we do at our farm, and of course, all farms are different. There's many models for CSA. At our farm, the crew, harvest the veggies, and then when the shareholders come, they come 2 days a week, so you could pick which day you choose, Tuesday or Friday. So you come on your day, and the veggies are all laid out in a shed, and there's a whiteboard sitting there telling you exactly what to pick up, and so you go through and you get your head of lettuce, your head of broccoli, cabbage, this or that. And so in that way, you get a little bit of choice where you pick which items suit you. And they're already washed and cleaned up. And if there's bunched items like bunched beets, they're already bunched and ready to go. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Is the entire farm organic? Because I know there are also community garden plots available on the farm.
So this is actually kind of interesting. We don't certify organic, but everything we grow, we use organic methods. So the reason we just choose not to certify is we just don't have to. We're direct to consumer. We call it first person certified. They can come see for themselves the methods we're using, and we don't use any synthetic pesticides or fertilizers or any of that. We use a lot of animal manures, that sort of thing. It's really transparent. They can come and see for themselves. With the community garden plots, they do get some guidelines to let them know, you know, what they should be using, should be growing, things they shouldn't be growing or using in their plot.
And I'll bet there's a lot of exchange between the farmers and the gardeners, or the gardeners with each other, kind of a social thing that happens out
there. It's really neat, because although the community garden plots are autonomous compared to the rest of the farm, which is committed to the CSA, there's a lot of overlap. You know, they come over and visit us and get pointers. We give them seedlings, that sort of thing. And some people are really committed and there every day, and so we know them a little better. And then there's some folks that are a little looser with their plot. But yeah, they come over and get advice and that sort of thing sometimes.
Okay. If somebody wants to visit the farm, I mean, it's a beautiful place out there. How can they go about doing that? Is it open to the public, or is it open during certain hours?
Yeah, daylight hours. And there is an access gate at the front, so people can come right up the front walkway, and usually there's some crew members milling around.
And just anybody can come out there and visit the farm? Okay, so this isn't just the people who have a community garden plot.
Right, yep, public access. So.
Well, it's a beautiful space out there. What is it like to work out there?
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah, it's great. I have the best job. We have some animals. We have goats and geese, and surrounded by the hills. You get to see up there, like around Fickle Hill and that ridge, and we also have a lot of foot traffic, because we're right there on Old Arcata Road. So a lot of people biking, walking by. Some people just pop in to see what we're up to in there. So.
And you have a greenhouse, which I'm so envious of.
Yeah, it really extends our ability to grow year-round. So we have a greenhouse that's committed to crops in the ground. And then we have another greenhouse that's our nursery, where we do all our starts.
Oh, okay. Get them ready to get into the ground. And then, I mean, there are some things that just are going to need that extra warmth just to get them to market.
Yeah, here on the coast, we have such a mild climate. Sometimes it's hard to get your tomatoes to ripen, or your peppers to get hot, and that sort of thing.
So. I've had that experience, yes. Now, what are some of your favorite things to snack on when you're in the garden? I know that's one of my things, is there got to be snacks.
Oh, yeah. Well, always strawberries, sugar snap peas, anything like that that you can pluck right off the vine and eat. We're also big fans of edible weeds and flowers. So that's something we've been educating the crew about, is which weeds are actually beneficial in the sense that you can eat them. And so we like purslane, chickweed, lamb's quarter, that sort of thing.
Nice. That's great. A little foraging while you're out there, too, and weeding. I know that I was out at the Shively Farm, for the College of the Redwoods Farm, and down there they had a lot of, well, they called it pigweed. And then when I looked it up, I saw that there were actually restaurants that were serving it as kind of a gourmet treat.
Absolutely.
And something I think that the farm crew would have loved to have somebody come and pick for them.
Yeah, other parts of the world, that's actually a major crop.
Yeah. And what are some of your favorite things to prepare? Do you do a lot of cooking at home?
I do. Yeah, I love to cook. So, you know, working with whatever is available seasonally. Last year, I really got into using our tomatoes, making tomato sauce and barbecue sauce and that sort of thing. So I'm extending my knowledge on that.
And, you know, one of the things that I noticed about the farm, because I got the pamphlet on the CSA, and the cost is really reasonable. I think a lot of people might think that organic produce is very expensive to come by, but your costs are pretty reasonable. I think it's just a little over $20 a week and enough produce to feed 3 to 4 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you finding people are pretty comfortable with that?
Yeah, figure? I think so. There is an adjustment that comes with you have to learn to cook with whatever you get that week. So instead of planning a menu around, you know, say a particular dish you'd like to make, instead you see what produce you have and what you can make with that. So I think people have a shift with that as far as that happens, but then you get really tuned into what's happening seasonally and that sort of thing. So generally people get between 5 and up to 10 different crops per week. And there's some staple things that they'll get every week, like lettuce every week, that sort of thing. You know, some people like to have salads every week. And then the other things rotate throughout the season. But here on the coast, since we have such a mild climate, we can do certain cooler weather crops all year. So generally, we'll always have some sort of a cabbage, brassica, cauliflower, that sort of thing.
Do you share recipes with people?
Oh, yeah. That's a big part of the social aspect of the farm. You know, we're always talking about how we like to prepare certain items and especially if, you know, something comes on, we have a big flush of a particular item, we'll all throw out ideas how we're going to use it.
Well, it's a lovely place out here, and it's been wonderful talking to you about it. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Jamie Buckley, the farmer for the City of Arcata's Bayside Park Farm. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.